What is happening, Dolphins fans, and welcome to another episode of the Fins Tailgate with your host, El Capitan. Today, on the tailgate party that never seems to stop, we're going to do some camp battle breakdowns. This is a series of shows that'll be coming out over the next couple of days. Make sure to catch them all, where we reflect back on our early 53-man roster projections. A couple months ago, we were doing those every week or so. And we look at the position groups heading into the season, heading into the 53-man roster cuts that we'll eventually have to make. And we look per group at some of the guys and how they'll be battling. Yeah, maybe some guys will all but certainly make the squad in their respective position group. But what's their seating? Who are they behind? You know, are they a starter? Are they a depth piece? Are they a rotation guy? Are they a bubble guy? Are they, you know, destined for the practice squad? And we're going to go through position group by position group, discussing these things, giving a little bit of takes on it, and, get into it. So on your way in, hit the like button, subscribe if you're new. And at the end of the episode, get into some comments. I got some questions for you guys, and I want to, you know, start a little bit of a dialogue. So we're going to start with the wide receivers today. And, early on, I had talked about the wide receivers and the depth and positional group and who I thought was going to, you know, make the squad or not make the squad. And you can go back a couple weeks ago and check it out on this episode here where we talk about the depth breakdown and stuff like that. But, one of the things that we discussed was, you know, Taj Washington. We like his upside. Dolphins brought him in here, and he was a guy that wasn't going to make the roster to me. And then I had said on that episode we did months ago, I'd wondered if they were going to maybe try to stash him in a way, put him on some PUP list or something like that. And a couple days ago, we received this from the Dolphins via Twitter, that Taj Washington was put on the active PUP list. So maybe the Dolphins look to stash him and not have to, you know, lose this guy. Because I don't think chances are, you know, if he's out there on waivers, somebody's going to snag him. And that's the forward thinking that general managers and coaches and stuff like that have to really figure out. Because, you know, you can't carry 10 wide receivers and have a good team, you know, but some position groups are going to carry more because they don't want to let this guy go, or they think this guy in this position group might clear waivers and be able to end up on the practice squad. There's a lot of manipulation of the 53 that has to come into play. And it's very interesting. And, you know, like the question we talked about on that episode was whether or not the Dolphins would carry 6 or 7 wide receivers. I would say with the news of Taj Washington being put on the active PUP, if that withstands, it's safe to say the Dolphins will ride out the season with only 6 wide receivers, not the season, but, you know, put 6 on their 53-man roster. So let's begin. I think we all know who 3 of the wide receivers are, right? There's no question. There's no denying which of the wide receivers are certainly making the team. And Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, Odell Beckham being brought in here, all an absolute certainty to make this football team in the wide receiver group. So in a set of 6 wide receivers, that leaves us with 3 more to add to this depth chart. So let's get right into it. First up on this list of guys is a guy returning to the Dolphins, Braxton Berrios. He played 16 out of 17 games last year. He only had 27 receptions on 33 targets. Now, although that's a great percentage, right? That's almost 82% catch rate on passes that were thrown to him. 27 out of 32. The question is, can you replace that production? Well, I would say yes. I think you already have. You've got OBJ in here now. He's slotted in to be number 3. And the Dolphins bringing Braxton Berrios in last year really had an opportunity to cement himself as the number three, along with other guys that are returning, and we're getting into them later. But, you know, very, as far as a third option on the field, Braxton Berrios did not perform up to par. But was that really why he was brought in here? You know, I mean, yes, he had the opportunity. Yes, it would have been nice if he just exploded on the scene and, you know, he caught 40-something passes and had, you know, 600-something yards or something like that. That would have been amazing. But that's not what we got out of him. That being said, the extra element to Braxton Berrios that was Dolphins were high on was his punt and kick return abilities, which, you know, he's a special teams guy. It's how he, you know, has made his bread in the NFL. It's how he got opportunities for the Jets, you know, punt and kickoff returning. But he didn't really deliver on that either. You know, he caught 45 punts this year, 47 total punts caught last year, 23 of which he returned for 235 yards, and 24 were fair caught, obviously. And he averaged a little over 10 yards per return on his punt returns, and that ranks him at 21st in the NFL as a punt returner. And to me, yes, I like Braxton Berrios. I see the upside. I see, you know, his abilities and stuff like that. Ranking 21st in punt returns, I would much rather give it to a, you know, rookie DB or a rookie wide receiver or a rookie running back to see if they can, you know, catch lightning in a bottle. That's kind of like, I mean, it's not out of color to say that we see this often with young skills position players that come in the NFL to get them more playing time because of their abilities and, you know, youth and, you know, speed and stuff like that. You allow them to take some punt and kickoff returns to wet their beak, for lack of a better term. But that ranked them 21st in the NFL on punt returns. So along with the, you know, 27 receptions for, you know, not that much yards, and the 235 punt return yards, I'm pretty sure we can replace that reception. Now, as for kickoff returns, he did a little bit better on that, averaging 24.5 yards per reception on kickoff returns. Only one of them was fair caught out of the 19 he did catch, and he totaled 441 yards on that. I would say adding in the punt turn duties, adding in the minimal production out of the wide receiver position and the kick return duties, for the money being spent on Braxton Berrios, which was minimal, and is minimal again, Dolphins re-sign him to $1.4 million, $750,000 of that guaranteed fully, ranking 28th in kickoff returns, though, you know, still not. I would say Braxton probably ends up on this football team, but his number four wide receiver rotation guy on the field is diminished mightily by OBJ. And some of these other guys we're going to get into are going to, you know, look to take their piece of that pie as well. So Braxton Berrios, probably one of the final three, but maybe not. Right? Dolphins could eat that $750,000 and go on the upside of one of these other guys potentially. So I will say this though, Braxton Berrios ends up on the waiver wire and he is picked up by another team. So along with the guaranteed money, second year in the offense, the position flexibility with punt return duties and kickoff return duties, as well as being a wide receiver and having, you know, a little bit of knowledge of the offense, obviously, coupled with the fact that he would most certainly be picked up by a team somewhere and put on their 53-man roster, to me, it tells me Braxton Berrios ends up probably as the fourth wide receiver on this team. Where he stands in the standings, does he become the fifth or the sixth? Well, let's get into that. Next person up on this list, River Craycraft. Beloved River Craycraft. Now, as far as production goes out of the wide receiver position, not a lot of targets come River Craycraft's way. Only getting 12 targets last year, 9 receptions for 121 yards, averaging 13.4 yards per reception, though. That's pretty darn good. Only played in 10 games. River only played in 9 the year prior. His 2022 stats and this year's stats are almost identical. I think he got 109 yards on 9 receptions last year. But River Craycraft isn't a possession wide receiver. He isn't a, he's not a speedster. He's not this. River Craycraft is hands down the best blocking wide receiver out here. He gets plenty of snaps in the offense when he's out there and healthy as a guy who is setting an edge downfield on a timed route that allows somebody to not only catch the ball, but immediately after catching the ball, blocking is downfield, and there's River Craycraft cleaning somebody's clock, which he does well. He did make the 53-man roster last year. So there is that going with him. And we all know that this is Mike McDaniel's homie, right? This is his guy. He is the metaphorical coach on the field, per se, especially with, additions like Taj Washington and Malik Washington. And we're going to get into both of them later on. There is most certainly value in having River Craycraft, in particular to the Dolphins, because of Mike McDaniel, because of what he demands in this offense and timing and knowledge, as well as the usage of a guy like River Craycraft. Now, real question is, does River Craycraft's blocking ability get overseen, allowing him to end up on the outs of this 53-man roster with 6 wide receivers because of OBJ's addition? Because we've seen in years, especially with the Ravens, OBJ blocking and the wide receiver role, and he's a big boy. There's gonna be some snaps called his way, but we're still gonna need rotation. So Craycraft did get a $1.24 million contract, but there is no guarantees. So that is something to look at. I guess as these episodes come out and we start, trying to feel out this, that, or the other, we can decide on whether or not the Dolphins can carry a River Craycraft or they're willing to, see if he clears waivers. I don't know how many teams are calling up, Craycraft's agent to in lieu of his services, but it only takes one team, and Niners could be that. I don't think so, but could be another team that runs this West Coast style hybrid scheme that looks to add him and could do it for minimal money. Next up on this list, newcomer Malik Washington. I think he makes the team no matter what, especially now that Taj is looking like he's a stash player on the PUP, potentially. This could change. He's a rookie. We brought him in. The guy, Malik Washington, he played 4 years at Northwestern and had stats. He was, part of those, all the winning they were doing over the last couple of years and stuff like that. And he decided to transfer in his last year to Virginia to show the NFL that he's not just, a guy in the wide receiver room in college. He's capable of being a number one option and producing. And he did not disappoint. This was a great move by this guy, which got him drafted by the Dolphins. He, in 12 games with Virginia, he caught 110 passes, which is a ton. And he went for 1,426 yards, averaging 13.0 yards per reception, proving that he is an absolute possession, can feed me the ball type of wide receiver with toughness, speed, agility, playmaking ability. He really shined for Virginia. And his 1,426 yards amounted to him being the fourth wide receiver in college football last year in yards. So his production cannot be, you can't act like his whole goal of going from Northwestern to Purdue to show he can produce was, I mean, listen, sometimes these guys transfer and it doesn't work out, but it absolutely worked out for Malik. And good for him to taking that shot. I mean, the Dolphins have him on a 4-year, $4.2 million deal. So he's not going nowhere. He's a young guy, cheap contract, a lot of production. And, you know, for the type of wide receivers that Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins like to use with Tua Tagovailoa, you know, this works out great for him, right? So when I think about whether or not he's going to make this roster, he's making this roster. That's a done deal. That'll make him the third and final guy if Braxton Berrios and River Craycraft make it, which Berrios and Craycraft both were on the 53-man roster. And I think in a room of six wide receivers, the question is, amongst these three, is what's the pecking order, right? I would say down in and down out, snap count, probably River Craycraft is getting as much as they can give him. But touches on the ball, I think the Dolphins, I don't know if it's early or later on, but at some point, Malik Washington is going to earn some of those touches. And I also wonder about him, you know, pushing for return abilities with Braxton Berrios and, you know, that type of competition. These types of battles are the ones in which we're going to look at, the ones we're going to watch between, you know, these three guys and a couple more here in the wide receiver room on, are they going to make the 53? And if they do, what pecking order are they in? And I'm looking for, you know, Malik Washington to push Braxton Berrios. If Braxton Berrios loses punt return and kick abilities to Malik Washington before 53-man roster cuts, they might take that shot on him. But that would mean one of these other guys would have to overtake him. And that brings us to the next guy on our list, Eric Ikuzama, the enigma, the absolute what is this guy's deal? Dolphins drafted him in 2022, and he's not played a game. Well, I mean, he's been in some special teams capacity, but as far as his impact, he's been zero impactful. Signed a 4-year, $4 million, $4.38 million deal with the Dolphins when he was drafted, and we've had zero return on this guy. You know, when he was brought in here, Ikuzama, we knew he was a little young, Texas Tech. We knew it was a Wes Welker pick, right? And it was the Dolphins fans' hope, myself included, that this guy was typecast and brought in here as a Debo role, right? The guy that was going to, you know, get some handoffs. And we've seen some of this stuff out in the preseason. We're like, oh, man, we've seen some of his catching ability. I remember that catch he had, you know, high point in the ball when Skylar Thompson threw a bomb to him down the sideline. Excuse me. I can remember a couple of these, you know, sweeps that he's taken. Some have done okay, some not so well. But all of that has not earned him snaps on this offense. And with the addition, again, of OBJ, I mean, you got to imagine the Dolphins are thinking, because, you know, OBJ versus Hill and Waddle as far as size goes, you got to be wondering if Mike McDaniel is thinking about a little bit of handoffs to OBJ behind the line, or some, you know, mixing them up a little bit. And is that going to hurt Eric Ikuzama's chances of making this roster? You know, plus it's not like he's been a big time blocking guy either. So, and he doesn't do kickoff and punt returns. Now, are the Dolphins going to try to get him to do kickoff and punt returns? I think they should. I think they should have already done that. I think they should have moved Eric Ikuzama in a slot tight end type of role, personally. I think that's what they should have done him. Maybe that's what they have been doing with him. I don't know. He made the roster last year, but this might be the year that he don't make it. Because I get it, right? You want a guy with size and youth and speed and cheap and control of his contract. But when I measure him up to a Braxton Berrios, right, on the face, he would go, yeah, go with Eric Ikuzama. But then I lose punt return abilities, kickoff return abilities. I lose that you know, wide receiving abilities that I have data of with Braxton Berrios. I have nothing. What is Eric Ikuzama bringing to the table in this? I'm going to be really watching him. He might not make it on this roster because of the addition of Odell Beckham, because of the previous guys, because of the addition of Malik Washington. Two new wide receivers are put on this six-man room, and I think Eric Ikuzama gets clipped. And here's the real question. If he goes to waivers, is anybody picking him up? Is there a team out there that's been like, oh, man, I remember, you know, in 2001, Eric Ikuzama was playing good. No. What has he done? I think the Dolphins can, you know, take a shot. I think they could. So now, that being said, I'll be paying attention to him in the preseason. I'll be paying attention to him and whatever articles are coming out. If I make it down to camp or the friends and show members that I have down at camp this year, I'm going to be asking them to watch and take a look. Tell me what they see out of this guy. Because I don't know if he makes this roster. Now, beyond Eric Ikuzama. Wait a second. That was Eric Ikuzama. I showed the wrong clip. My fault. Comes my next guy. That's Eric Ikuzama. The new Isaiah Ford of the team, Braylon Sanders. So here's the thing about Braylon Sanders, right? When I measure him to Eric Ikuzama to Braylon Sanders. Now, he had no stats last year to report on. But he did catch two passes on three targets the year before. And say what you will, that's more than Eric Ikuzama. Now, size, speed, all those things probably left a little wanting. But it seems to me Braylon Sanders hanging around this team, which, you know, when he was a rookie 2 years ago, the Dolphins signed him to a three-year deal worth $2.5 million, a little over $2.5 million, that he signed at the end of last year. So after his rookie year, he's obviously a worker, right? And I don't know much about Braylon Sanders, but we do know of guys that fit this Isaiah Ford mold, right? They're dudes that are workers. They understand the offense. They're doing everything right all the time. They don't have the, you know, speed or length or size or other things that you really want, you know, some of your guys to have. But it's hard to let go of guys that are straight up just killing it in the practice, in the meeting room, in the study room, all that stuff. And Braylon Sanders appears on the face to be one of those types of guys. I don't foresee him making the 53-man roster, but as we've seen with Taj Washington, somebody gets nicked up and goes down and ends up on the PUP or an IR or whatever, and a slot opens up, it doesn't automatically go to Eric Ikuzama, in my eyes. The Dolphins would have themselves a real conversation on whether Eric Ikuzama or Braylon Sanders was worthy of that spot. If Eric Ikuzama is, say, a bit of an airhead and lazy and not learning his, you know, combinations and plays and, you know, not using his route running, and while meanwhile on the flip side, you know, yeah, Braylon Sanders might not have the weight and size you wish he had like Eric Ikuzama, but he is doing everything right. In a timing-based offense like this, that is far and away more valuable than ability is, you know, competence. So Braylon Sanders versus Eric Ikuzama in a winner-take-all scenario for the final spot on the roster. Can either one of those guys push guys like River Craycraft or Braxton Berrios? These are the battles I'll be looking at. Next guy coming up on this list here is an XFL dude, Matthew Sexton. It's going to be a real uphill battle for this guy, Matthew Sexton. He got picked up by the Patriots last year, and the guy has bounced all over the NFL, from New England to the Falcons to the Steelers to the Chiefs and now to Miami, where he did sign a two-year deal with the Dolphins for a $1,755,000. There is no guarantees, so he can make that money. These are active roster bonuses and, you know, stuff like that, and money he can make. You know, maybe this guy ends up on the practice squad and is brought back. You know, maybe he, you know, maybe he shows up and shows out and shows the Dolphins that he could replace Braxton Berrios in some of the duties that they asked Braxton Berrios to take, in which case would allow the Dolphins to take a risk putting Braxton on the waiver wire and say they couldn't say no to Eric Ikuzama, who took a real step up. So when we look at the Dolphins making these decisions on who they're going to cut and who they're not going to cut, this is the type of stuff I'm looking, I'm listening for. I'm going to try to be preparing to see and understand the reasonings why, if Braxton Berrios didn't get on the team and, you know, Eric Ikuzama does, and then turn around and Matthew Sexton is back on the practice squad. His XFL stats are, you know, not all that great. They only play 8 games. He had 23 receptions for 326 yards. The guy is a long shot to make the 53-man roster. He would have to absolutely dazzle all up and down, which has happened. That's how, you know, Chris Brooks ended up on the 53-man roster last year. And we're going to get into that in our next episode with the running backs. But final guy on this roster, local product, Jaquan Burton. He's from FAU, the Owls. He had his best year in college in 2022 with 33 receptions for 517 yards and 4 touchdowns. Again, this guy, long shot to make the roster. Local products, they bring him in every year. But, you know, this is great opportunity for Jaquan Burton because, I mean, dude, he's hanging around an NFL team. What a dream come true. And, you know, he picks up what learning and, you know, get some new tricks from some of the guys like Waddle and OBJ, and Hill, these guys with knowledge and, you know, foot drills and learning this type of offense and, you know, just understanding what it takes in the grind of being a football player. You know, he could find himself finding some opportunities. You know, he could end back up on the Dolphins practice squad. He could end up somewhere else on a practice squad. And, you know, fast forward a year or two later, he's gotten some snaps and, you know, now a team wants to bring him in the room, and he, yeah, there's the long road traveled, but this is the NFL. This is America. You can have opportunities, and it's good to see, you know, the local product FAU, Burton getting a little bit of a shot here. So, I mean, look, again, it's a real ask for this guy to overtake Eric Ikuzama, who the Dolphins control with cheap money that they drafted, overtake Braylon Sanders, the hard worker, you know, River Craycraft. He's not, you see what I'm saying, right? But again, the things that Jaquan Burton could show the Dolphins is that he has the abilities to fill the gaps in a practice squad role and break glass in case of emergency to end up on a game day roster. He could present them with those abilities to allow the Dolphins to take chances with guys like River Craycraft, Braxton Berrios, and say they decide to bring up Eric Ikuzama or whatever, or Taj Washington comes off the list and ends up on the 53. So there's going to be some interesting things going out. I mean, what do you guys think, right? Giving you all this information, who do you guys think the Dolphins choose as their top 6? Do they even choose 6? Do you think that the Dolphins carry 7 wide receivers? Does Taj Washington remain on the PUP list to you know, be protected by the Dolphins? Are they looking to stash him? Wouldn't be the first time. Probably, you know, definitely a highly likelihood you know, scenario that could be potentially the case. I mean, Taj, what, he's like 195 pounds, You know, he's a small guy. Maybe they put him on a weight gain program type of thing, naturally get him up to, you know, 205 or something. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe he ends up on the seven man roster. So get in the comment sections. Let me know. Do the Dolphins carry six? Do they carry seven? Who are their six? Who are their seven? And in what order on the depth? Who's the fourth guy? Who's the fifth guy? Who's the sixth guy? Let me know in the comment sections. Hit the like button. Subscribe if you're new. Share this video and keep a lookout on some of the other episodes coming out here directly. And fins up.